Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on privacy when we come back. Hey, are you concerned about your privacy? Well, how much does your government know about you anyway, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself. And everything that government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, our Fourth Amendment protects us in our person, houses, papers, and effects, but it doesn't protect us from ourselves. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? Well, you bet we can. And that's because information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and a very logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, it's knowing how much information is gathered, what information is being stored, and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you that you haven't revealed by your own hand or your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for our free General Law CD package first? That's the place to start. That's a four-hour program. It's entertaining, it's informative, it's educational, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website at georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and download that free General Law CD package right there. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, and then go to our archives page, and you can download her. Privacy. I get a lot of calls from people on privacy, and they complain a lot. They say, well, the government knows too much, and the government's getting this, and the government's getting that, and my insurance company's doing this, and my insurance company's doing that, and my boss is doing this, and they make me pee in a bottle, and they're constantly making me fill out these forms and do all these thingies over here. I kind of chuckle a little bit. I don't fill out anybody's forms. I don't pee in anybody's bottles, and I'm happy as a clam at high tide. I'm not complaining about the all-pervasive government surveillance system. I'm not complaining about the IRS. I'm not complaining about the income tax. I'm not complaining about national health care and national health care insurance and all the rest of it. And that's because I practice a little different practice here. I'm practicing the Ten Commandment model of life and liberty and pursuit of happiness, a system set up in our Constitution, surprisingly. And you Canadians and Australians and most of you Europeans have the same Anglo-Saxon protections built into your constitutions and founding documents that we have here in the United States. After all, we copied from you people. I mean, you French people over there, and you Belgians and Norwegians and Swedes, I mean, hell, you people were in business and in operation for hundreds, if not thousands of years before the United States was ever thought of. And these traditions, these Anglo-Saxon ideologies that we embrace in our Constitution here in the United States and our Bill of Rights are the principles of law that have come down from Moses. You know, like our Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable searches and seizures, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not kill, and one thing and another. These protections are built into the Ten Commandments, built into Anglo-Saxon administration. Now, there are governments out there that are invading your privacy. Your company, the company you work for, probably is invading your privacy. Your insurance company, your doctors, and all kinds of institutions are constantly probing and asking you for information. And all of the information that all of these agencies and governments and businesses and insurance companies, all the information they've got, they asked you for it and you gave it to them. There's nobody running around, you know, with a long trench coat and dark sunglasses with a clipboard following you around and writing all this information down. There's nobody tailing you and getting this information from you. They're asking you for it, and you're giving it to them. Now, it's true they put you into positions where this information seems to be needed and necessary and pretty logical. But there are certain guidelines that we follow. I mean, if you want to be personal and private, there are certain guidelines that we follow, and there are certain things that we do, and there's lifestyle changes that need to be made if you want to have some bit or some modicum of privacy. Now, I have pretty good privacy, and I'm a pretty public person. You know, I'm on the radio, I'm on the internet. This program is aired in 123 countries worldwide, and I talk every day for an hour, and I give out all kinds of information. All of the information I'm giving you is public information. It's things that you could look up on a Google search. It's things that are recorded in the Supreme Court reports. I'm giving you public information in a public forum, and what I'm telling you isn't a secret. Now, I've got some secrets. There's some things that I don't want you or the government or the insurance company or the Denny's waitress or the doctor or the dentist to know. You know, what I do in my bedroom with my wife is my business, and I'm going to keep it a secret, and I tell them. Now, there's agencies out there that would like to know what you're doing in the bedroom, and if they could get a videotape of what's going on in there, and they could then blackmail you. Old J. Edgar Hoover was good at that. He was out getting the goods on senators and representatives and cabinet officers and so on. Then he'd come into their office and say, well, now here's the way I think you ought to vote. And if that senator said, no, I'm not going to vote that way, then the good FBI director would throw his file, his dossier down on him and say, now, you wouldn't want any of this information to get out to the press or to get back to your wife or, you know, for anybody to find out about. And then that senator or representative, he'd take a look at the pictures and the reports and the documents, and he'd say, I see your point, Mr. Hoover. I think I'll vote no on that bill. That's blackmail. Now, blackmail is used all the time by the CIA, the KGB, all these intelligence organizations. They use blackmail. They use women, whores, and they use cameras. They're taking pictures, and they're watching people, you know, and they'll set up a camera someplace where you're going to be, and then they'll send somebody over there to see if they can't get you in a compromised position and then take your picture. You've probably seen movies like that where some guy will go into a hotel room and he'll get the wrong room because the bellhop, you know, the bell clerk, the desk clerk is in on it, and they give you the key. So you're in room 427. And then when you check into room 427, see, they got a video camera up there. You walk in there, and then here's this slinky broad. She's on the bed as you walk in. You know, things like that happen, and sometimes they're set up to entrap you. Now, most of that's Hollywood hype. The general rule of thumb is, no, they're not actually setting you up. You're just allowing yourself to get set up. And then, or like as not, you know, you just fell into it. There was a kid the other day, he was a sodomite, and he was actually doing some sodomite in front of somebody. He was taking pictures of him, and then they published those pictures on Facebook or something. And this kid, he's a college kid, and he felt so bad about that, he jumped off a bridge or out of an apartment house, killed himself. Well, okay, but hey, listen, he did it himself, didn't he? His lifestyle did it to him, didn't it? Now, people ask me all the time, well, how do I get out of all of these contracts and all of these credit reports and all of these government documents and statistics that I'm a part of, and now I want my privacy back? So let's take a look at some things that we can all do that will that'll help us either get out or stay out, you know, from the get-go. Let me read you a little story here. This is pretty funny, and we'll read this story, and this is pretty typical about what's going on in the world today, and then let's take a look at some step-by-step sequence of events, things that we can do that'll ameliorate these problems. It starts off this way. The operator says, well, thank you for calling Pizza Hut. May I have your order? And the customer says, hi, I would like to order, and the operator breaks in and says, well, may I have your NIDN first, sir? The customer responds, oh, yes, my national identification number. Yeah, hold on. It's 610-204-9998-45-54610. Operator. Well, thank you, Mr. Sheehan. I see you live at 1742 Meadowland Drive, and the phone number is 494-2366. Your office number at Lincoln Insurance Company is 745-2302, and your cell number is 266-2566, and that you're calling from your home phone. Customer, whoa, where did you get all this information? Operator, we are connected to the system, sir. The customer sighs, oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your all-meat special pizzas. Operator, I don't think that's a good idea, sir. Customer, what do you mean? Operator, well, sir, your medical records indicate that you have a very high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol, and your national health care provider will not allow such an order. That's a very unhealthy choice, sir. Customer, damn. So what do you recommend then? Operator, well, you might try our low-fat soybean yogurt pizza. I'm sure you'll love it. Customer, what makes you think I'd like something like that? Operator, well, you checked out gourmet soybean recipes from your local library last week, sir. That's why I made this suggestion. Customer, all right. Give me two family-sized yogurt soybean recipe pizzas. Then what's the damage? Operator, Well, that should be plenty for you, your wife, and your four children, sir. The damage, as you put it, comes to $49.99. Customer, well, let me give you my credit card number. Operator, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm afraid you'll have to pay in cash. Your credit card balance is over its limit. Customer, well, I'll run over to the ATM and get some cash before the driver gets here. Operator, oh, that won't work either, sir. You see, your checking account is overdrawn. Customer, never mind. Just send the pizzas and I'll have the cash ready. How long will it take? Operator, we're running a little behind, sir. It'll be about 45 minutes, sir. If you're in a hurry, you might want to pick them up while you're out getting the cash. But carrying pizzas on a motorcycle can be a little awkward. Customer, how in the hell do you know I'm riding a motorcycle? Operator, well, it says right here that you're in arrears on your car payments. So your car got repossessed. But your Harley Davidson motorcycle is paid up, so I just assumed that you'd be using it. Customer, blank, 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 blank. Operator, I'd advise you, sir, to watch your language. You've already got a July 2006 conviction for cussing out a cop. Customer, speechless. Operator, will there be anything else, sir? Customer, no, nothing. Oh, yeah, don't forget the 2 free liters of Coke that your ad says I get with the pizzas. Operator, I'm sorry, sir, but our ad's exclusionary clause prevents us from offering free soda to diabetics. Now, that's kind of a humorous little story, and it's not too far from the truth. There's a certain air of fact about that. It hasn't quite gotten that bad. The National Healthcare Service hasn't put your medical records online so that the girl at Pizza Hut would say to you, sir, you have high cholesterol and we can't sell you an all-meat pizza. But it's coming to that. And I wouldn't doubt that everything that we just saw here won't be put into operation over the next 10 or 20 years. In fact, technologically, it's possible to do today. I remember 1980, while I was at Barrister's Inn in Boise, Idaho, one of my students who was a computer programmer up at Bank of Idaho said that the beast, they called it the beast, the supercomputer that was in Brussels, Belgium, carried that kind of information about every person in the world, and that was back in 1980. Now, can you imagine what this computer, they got an outfit here in the United States. It's called the National, let's see if I remember the name here, the National Intelligence Agency, isn't it? NIA, the National Intelligence Agency. And they've got computers, more than one, but I mean, they've got rooms full of computers. And they can listen in. Get this, this is really phenomenal. They can listen in to every telephone conversation that's put out from every telephone in the world simultaneously and record it all. That's something, ain't it? I mean, that's really amazing. So when you pick up your telephone and you call me here at the law school and you say, you know, innocuous things like, well, gee, Mr. Gordon, I haven't filed a tax return for the last 5 years and I'm calling about your tax class. Did you know that that's being recorded at the NIS? It used to be when I was a kid that the FBI would break into your house, you know, like the Watergate break-in. They were breaking in there to set up a microphone so that they could listen to what was going on in there, see? And I remember one time I was up in Anchorage, Alaska, and a guy came in to me with a Pepsi-Cola can. And he handed it to me, and it was empty. I said, well, what am I supposed to do with this Pepsi-Cola can? And then he said, well, look inside there. And so I looked down in the hole, and I looked inside, and there was a microphone in there, in this can. Can you believe it? And then he took me over to the window, and he pointed to a white Ford Econoline van out in the parking lot. And he said, there's two men in that van, and this microphone right here is picking up every word that's being said here in the room, and it's being broadcast out to that van, and they're recording them. And I said, well, how do you know that? And he said, well, because I'm a cop, and I'm a spook, and I saw this Pepsi-Cola can sitting in the window over there. And I said, well, now, that needs to be thrown in the garbage. And so I went over to throw it in the garbage, and I just looked inside of it out of habit, and I saw the microphone in there. And so I said, well, let's go out there and let's knock on the van. So we did. We went out there, and there were two men in the van, and they wouldn't answer the door. And then after we left, we said, well, come on out. We'd like to interview you. And then they got in the van. They took off. Now, probably, if this is the IRS or somebody else, probably they sent somebody else back with a different van, a different bill cover, and then somebody comes into the audience. It'll be somebody that's an undercover agent in the audience, and then he records it. But you see, this is a public meeting, and there isn't anything that I'm going to say in this public meeting that I wouldn't say to the FBI director. So they really didn't need to go to all of those clandestine ends. Here's another little story. As early as 1963, the telephone companies, so that you wouldn't have to break in and plant a microphone like the FBI used to do during World War II, they put a built-in microphone right in your telephone. Then all they had to do is flip a switch down at the telephone office and they could listen to everything that you're saying. Then they got a little more sophisticated than that, and then a little more sophisticated than that. And so now we're down to the point where the phone companies themselves record every conversation. So for instance, let's suppose that you have a phone bill comes in, and maybe there's a long-distance telephone call to Sydney, Australia, and the bill is $125. And you say, well, I didn't make that call. Well, the telephone company has a copy of that call. Until you pay the bill, until you pay them that $125, they're going to keep that. And then they'll play that for you, and they'll say, well, here's your voice. And, you know, here's the call. Well, I didn't know that that was a 999 number. Well, okay, but, you know, you made it. And if there's litigation, they'll prove that you're the guy that made that call. They can tell you exactly the day, time, place. They can record your voice. And they're not spooks. They're just doing it because it's a business practice. And they do this all on computer. I mean, these guys are really spectacular. And this is just the kind of stuff that I know about. And I'll bet you that they've got programs and processes that I've never even heard of that are even more sophisticated than that. So there you are. And so the average Joe Sixpack says, well, there's no privacy in America, and so you might as well forget that. Oh, no, that's not true. If that were true, then they wouldn't have to use all of these clandestine little tricks to get this information from you. Now I'll tell you another little story here. One day my wife is in the, I think it was Office Depot in Springfield. She's getting some printing. And it was $500 and a little change. And the girl there at the counter said, do you have your Office Depot discount card? And so my wife said, no. And she's ringing up the purchase over here. Now, I'm usually on top of that when I'm checking out. And then I can see that the bill is $100, $200, $300, $400. You know, I'm reaching in my pocket and I'm pulling out $100, $200, $300, $400. No, not my wife. My wife doesn't do jack diddly squat. She stands there, chews her head, watches this whole operation go on until the girl finally said, okay, now the bill's $504.14. Now, by now, there's about five people standing in line, and then my wife springs into action in slow motion. And she opens her purse, and she starts rummaging around through her purse looking for money. Now, meanwhile, I'm standing over here on the side, and I'm chewing my cud, and I'm counting the customers that are lined up behind her that are all swearing under their breath, like, you dumb old woman, why don't you have your money? Why don't you use a credit card? Why don't you write a check? And so my wife is digging through her purse. Now, this girl asks her a second time, if she'd like to have an Office Depot discount card. And my wife stopped, looked at her, and said, no, thank you, and went back to rummaging around in her purse, digging out the money. Now, this girl evidently had been programmed by her boss to get my wife to sign up. So she pulls the application and hands it to my wife and says, here, fill this out, and I will give you your Office Depot discount right now with this purchase. Now, what they want is your name, address, and telephone number, and maybe a little more information. Then they'll put that in their computer, and they'll give you a card. And every time you come through there, they'll give you 1%, 2%, 3% discount as you're making your purchases. So, and everybody wants to save a little money, and so, you know, they give out this information. Now, what most people don't understand is this. Along comes the IRS in and audits Office Depot, and they do that, you know, every 3 or 4 months. And they're looking for people like me. How much money do you spend at Office Depot? And so you go in and you spend, and they keep track of that. Sam's is a great one for that. Sam's, you know, that's where you go in and get a card, and every time you make a purchase, this is all put on computer. Well, they're doing the same thing at Office Depot. In fact, all of these big discount stores, you know, every time you walk in there and you give them your special card, they're recording everything that you're buying. Now, they run that through the computer, and pretty soon they say, oh, my God, this guy here, he bought this nitro, and then over here he bought some glycerin, and over here he bought this and that, and pretty soon they say, oh my God, this guy must be a terrorist because he's got all of the ingredients to build a bomb. Now, I personally don't know how to do that, and I probably have the stuff around the farm here to do that, but I don't know how to use it. But you see, they could run that through the computer and say, hey, this guy in the last 3 months has bought all this stuff, and here's how big a bomb he can build. Now, you're sitting there saying, well, that's good because now we can catch terrorists. Well, that's what the government uses as their cover story. Actually, they're not concerned about people building bombs. They're concerned about people not paying their taxes. They're concerned about people over here that they need to control, or that they need to collect money from. And by having this information available to them, they can access your bank account, and they can see how much money you're spending here and there. And it's helpful in law enforcement. For instance, if you burn your restaurant down and then put in a claim for $1 million, they can see that you're bankrupt. They can see that you're struggling to make ends meet, that your business is unprofitable and has been now for a year and a half, and that this is a self-inflicted fire so that you can collect the insurance. I was trained years ago as a claims adjuster, and that's one of the first things that we look for when we have a fire. What's this guy's financial condition before the fire? Now, if this guy is making money hand over fist, we have noticed in the insurance industry that those restaurants never burn. When a guy is losing money, those restaurants always burn. So it doesn't take the insurance company very long to figure out that we've got to do something for our internal audit control for people that are burning their restaurants down. See how simple this is? I mean, it doesn't take rocket science. So I'm not in the business of burning my restaurant down. I'm not even in the business of insurance. So I don't buy insurance, and so I'm not concerned about the insurance company keeping records on me, because the insurance company doesn't keep records on people who are non-policyholders. And the reason for that is there's no money in it. Same thing with banks. Banks don't keep records on non-account holders. If you were to go into our local Century Bank and ask them, what kind of information do you have on George Gordon? They would say, we don't have anything at all. He doesn't have an account here. But if you were somebody that had an account with the Century Bank, and you're an FBI agent, and you walk in and say, what kind of information do you have? Ooh, boy, do we have information on this guy. And we can tell you all about this guy. In fact, let me give you a little point of order here. There was a show put on one time that I was viewing, and this guy came in. Now, he's what we call a skip tracer. A skip tracer is a guy who's trying to find somebody, and he uses as one of his techniques your canceled checks. And he pointed out he was handed a little pile of checks, probably 25 or 30 in a little sack, and then he was sent off camera to go look at those checks and analyze them and come back and tell us all of the information that he could glean from these canceled checks. So he was off camera for probably 15 minutes and comes back on after another contestant had left, and he said, okay, I can tell you quite a bit about this guy. So he starts off and he says, well, this fellow works for the Treasury Department in Washington, D.C. He's a GS-15 government worker, and that's his pay grade. He has a wife and two daughters. They're divorced, and he's paying alimony and child support in the amount of, and then he'd say, well, it was $800 a month. His oldest daughter is 11. The younger daughter is 8. And he wears a Hickey Freeman's suits, and he wears wingtip shoes. Now, do you see this information is pretty specific? Oh, and he said the oldest girl's birthday is on July 8th, and so on, you know, and he, this is the report that he's making. All right, now, right away we ask, how do you know that this girl's birthday is July 8th? How do you know the guy is divorced? How do you know he's a GS-15 government worker and, you know, all this information? It's the information that's contained in your checks, in your checking account. See that little memo line down there? And you write in there for later information so that you can give it to H&R Block so you can get your tax deduction, things like that. You put in there Becky's birthday, and you wrote her a check for $25. Now, on the alimony and child support over here, you wrote a check to the prosecuting attorney for the $840. See, when you're writing checks like that to the prosecuting attorney, we know that that's child support money. And then it goes to the prosecutor, and then he doles it out. So, you know, Hickey Freeman's suits and the wingtip shoes, see, when you write your checks and you pay for these things, well, we know what kind of suits are sold by John's Suit Shop. And we know where you got those wingtip shoes down at the Payless Shoe Store. We're looking at things like the memo line. A lot of times you'll write in there what this is for. But just by knowing the amount and knowing who the check was written to, you know, that tells us a lot. So you can tell a lot just by the canceled checks that somebody is writing. And that same information is available to the people at the bank that process your checks, isn't it? And then any police agency can go into the bank and get that information. And if you think that they need a warrant, a search warrant or something like that, no, they don't need that at all. And especially now with Homeland Security and the War on Terror and the Patriot Act. So if we want to keep private the information that this skip tracer could get from canceled checks, we have to change our lifestyle a little bit so that that information isn't out there in the public realm that everybody can see. You know, if you don't want people to know how much child support and alimony you're paying, and you don't want people to know what kind of suits you wear, or you don't want them to know when your kid's birthday is, you want to keep some of that private, then we have to live a lifestyle that's a little bit different than the average Joe Sixpack. It's halfway time here, so let me remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And you can go to the archives page, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there off of our website, georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour, an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or the publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review, they may be hostile, they may be political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, information is being gathered from many different sources, 63 that last count. And these sources of information gather this information, like the census, for instance. I was just watching Judy Woodward on the Law Hour the other night interview the top commissioner, or the head, the secretary of the Census Department. They dug out a lot of neat information. And I'm not begrudging them finding this information out and telling us that Americans are moving from the Northeast and the Midwest, especially the upper Midwest, to the South and to the West, and they've got migration changes, and they've got all kinds of statistics that they have derived. Now, in this census, they said that there's 308 million Americans. Now, I don't know if I was counted or not. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But I didn't fill out the form, and I didn't give them any information at all. None. Zero zilch. And I know personally of a number of other people that have done the same thing. They don't. They practice privacy, and they don't want government to know the answers to these riddles, and so, especially riddles about their own personal private lives, and so they don't participate in the census either. I don't know statistically what that does, and I'm sure that they're able to take surveys and count people like me, you know, and tell that how many people don't participate in the census and so on. But the point that I'm making here is very simple. I don't want to tell people out of my own mouth what kind of a car I drive, how many miles to the gallon I get with it, or how many gallons a year I buy or use up, or, you know, those are answers that if you put those together, you could put quite a story together. And that would compromise my privacy, and I don't want to do that. Now, sometimes people will say to me, well, what is it that you're trying to hide? And the answer is, I'm hiding my privacy. Well, what is it about your privacy that you're hiding? And the answer is, if I told you what it is that I'm hiding, then it wouldn't be hidden anymore. So I don't want to tell you what it is I'm hiding. I don't want to tell you anything about me that I personally don't want you to know. So the things that I tell you, it's because I want you to know that. Now, I gave you my telephone number. I want you to know that telephone number. Now, I don't want you to know whether or not I have another telephone number, or whether that number is secret and you don't know what it is, or. Now, just take President Obama, for instance. If you wanted to talk to President Obama, I'm sure that you could call the White House in Washington, D.C. Does President Obama answer the telephone? The answer is no, he doesn't. Test it. Just call him up, you know, early Sunday morning, say around 7:30, 8 o'clock, see if President Obama answers the phone. He won't. There's somebody there going to answer the phone. And then when she determines that you are, in fact, Hillary Clinton, and that you want to talk to the president, she'll put you through, because there's a list of people that can get right through to the president. And I'll bet you that they're even smarter than them. I'll bet you that the president has another phone with another number that you and I don't know anything about, and that's probably unlisted, and probably the operator doesn't know anything about it either. And so you would not be able to call the president, but I'll bet you that Hillary Clinton can call the president day or night, 24/7, get right through to him, and probably catch him at bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'd answer the phone. And that's pretty normal and natural. I mean, when people say, I don't answer the telephone here at the law school. So if you call here at the law school and you think you're going to get George Gordon, that's not going to happen. But once in a while it does. Then sometimes people are really surprised. They call the law school and say, well, are you George Gordon? Yeah, you got me live and direct. You know, if my wife leaves and I'm the only guy that's here, which doesn't happen very often, but if I'm the only guy here and you call, well, I might answer the phone. And then you might catch me live and direct. But our telephone here rings, you know, 30 times a day. And that's 30 people calling in. Then there's calls that are going out. And I don't have the time, you know, to spend on the telephone. That's a full-time job. I'd just be here answering the telephone, and I wouldn't be making any radio programs. I couldn't milk the cows. I couldn't do jack diddly squat. I'd just be on the telephone. And that's why they hire receptionists and telephone operators. You know, when you get too many calls a day coming in, sometimes you got to put in a switchboard. And maybe you got to have 10 or 15 people answering the telephone. You know, when you call information, you want a telephone number, you dial the number. That's not just one person they got there. Hell, they probably got 30 or 40 of them in there. And it kind of moves around a little bit from one guy to the next, you know, as time progresses on. So there's systems that are put into place here that deal with communications and information. And so what we need to do is to determine, well, what is it that you don't want other people to know about you? Now, Americans have been propagandized and trained over their lifetimes. You know, public school is a place where we train you to waive your Fourth Amendment right to be secure in your person, houses, papers, and effects. And this starts right off in the first grade. Very first thing your teacher taught you to do was to write your name at the top of the paper. That's so that she could identify your paper from Tommy's across the aisle and Judy Hartson at the head of the aisle, you know, and so on. So that made sense, sure. But then that carries on through life, and so you don't have any problem putting your name on pieces of paper when somebody asks you to. Sometimes I don't even need to ask it. They just hand you the piece of paper, and you can see where it says name, and you just automatically go right to it because this is your training. This is what you were trained to do. When it says name, you write your name in there. It says social security number, you put your social security number in there. Says telephone number, you put your telephone number in there. So you have been taught and trained to waive your privacy. Then when you get this telephone call and the girl says, oh no, I can't sell you an all-meat pizza because you have high cholesterol, because your national health care provider has flagged you in the system, you know, that's very viable. That's to remind you that, hey, you ought not to be eating that. Now, if you're like me and time goes by and you grow up and you get to be an old man, and one day you wake up and say, well, I'm not really so sure that all this information out there about me was good for me. It's probably good for the Census Department. It's probably good for NIA and the FBI and the CIA and Bank of America and Goldman Sachs and Bill Gates and all these guys, but is it really good for me? I remember one time we had a guy, he's a school teacher, came from Massachusetts, and one day he showed up in Boise, Idaho, and he was in one of my classes, and It came to his attention. See, he hadn't paid his child support. He was running away from his child support. So he left Massachusetts and went to Iowa. Then he was there about 3 or 4 months, and all of a sudden, they came up to him one day and they said, hey, we're going to have to withhold. And they did. They withheld several hundred dollars out of his paycheck. And so he just quit the school and he moved to Boise, took a job there, came into class one night, and he said, I can't understand how they found me, but I left Massachusetts and I moved to Iowa. And somehow they found me, I don't know how, and then they leaned my check and took my money. So I left there and I came to Boise, I took a job here, and I've only been here for 3 months, and now they've leaned my paycheck again. And I said, sir, you have a social security number. And he said, yeah. And I said, you put your social security number on your job application. Yeah. And every 90 days when they pay you, they send that information into the Social Security Administration. Yeah. Okay, well, the prosecuting attorney up in Massachusetts, he has a connecting link with Social Security, and the minute that number shows up, they knew that you had a job in Iowa, and so they nailed you there. Now they know you got a job here, and they nailed you here. And you can leave here in the morning and go to Portland, Oregon. And 90 days from now, they'll nail you there. They've got you by the short hair, sir, because you don't have any privacy using that Social Security number. See how that works? Now, I know you're going to sit there and say, well, you know, you have to work. I'm not so sure that that's true. Now, you can do that if you want. You can work as an employee. I work every day, but I'm not an employee. Nobody's leaning my paycheck. And that's because I don't have a paycheck, and I don't want anybody to know anything about how much money I make, or who I make it from, or who I work for, or who I do business with. And those are things that are protected by our Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. And if you don't work to protect your privacy, well, you can rest assured your government isn't going to work to protect it. They're going to work to uncover your privacy. And any company, any bank, any institution that thinks that there might be a dollar to be made by uncovering your privacy will do that. They'll go right to work on it. So privacy is something that you have to be cognizant of. You have to work at all the time. You have to be alert to the signals. You know, when somebody says, fill this out, here, sign here, or they ask me, what's your social security? They ask me what my name is. When somebody asks me what my name is, that's the first red flag. Then when they say, where do you live? And do you rent or own? What's your social security number and telephone number? See, right away, I'm alert now. That'll wake me right up. For instance, let me give you an illustration. I call it the Denny's waitress test. You go into the Denny's restaurant and you sit down. Does the waitress come over with a clipboard and a questionnaire and say, do you have hemorrhoids? And have you been hospitalized in the last 90 days? Are you on any kind of medication, prescription medication, they'll ask you, things like that. And no. You go into Wendy's or a restaurant, or you're sitting down at Denny's, they bring you a menu. They don't ask you what your name is. They don't care. You can go in and buy lunch and leave there totally anonymously. They don't know your name. They don't know where you live. They don't know your phone number. And then you'll notice that Denny's never calls you. Did you notice that? Denny's, they don't call you on the phone. They don't write you letters. And did you notice that when you go to the doctor's office, they call you, they write you letters, done you, how come you ain't paying your bill? You know. And so that tells you a whole lot of the story right there. When you go to the doctor's office, he gives you a form and you fill it out. When you left Denny's, you paid your bill, but when you left the doctor's office, you didn't pay him. And that just tells you a whole lot right there. If you pay your bill every time you buy something, just cash and carry. Just cash and carry. No credit anywhere. Boy, that'll just give you a ton of privacy that you never knew you had before. Now, that doesn't guarantee 100% privacy 100% of the time, because I told you about Office Depot. They want your name and number. They want to put you in their computer, and then they're going to share that information with the IRS, and then the EPA and the State Tax Commission. They're going to share it with the sales tax people and send it off to the CIA and the KGB and Interpol and 55 other agencies. So when somebody is asking you to fill out papers, give them information, can you say no? Can you practice that dare story? Just say no. They used to have that on TV all the time. Somebody's offering you drugs, just say no. Somebody's offering you credit, just say no. Somebody wants to know some information about you, just say no. Can you do that? All right, now, that's not true. You can't say no. You don't know how yet. We haven't got to that. We haven't got to that lesson. Most of you cannot say no, because that would hurt somebody's feelings. It's socially unacceptable to say no. So we want to make everybody happy. We cannot stand confrontation. So here's a trick that's oftentimes used by your opponent to get information from you. It's just simple. It's confrontation. They'll say, well, we won't give you telephone service if you don't fill this out. Or we will not hook you up to the power grid if you don't fill this out. And so then you melt like a jellyfish in a hot July sun, and you say, well, okay, well, I'll fill that out. Now, you didn't want to. But you'll give them all of this information because there's confrontation here, and you want to avoid confrontation. You want to avoid scenes. So until you get to the point where you can relish confrontation and meet the confrontation and then get the goods or services that you want anyway, kind of like a power company, you know. I was up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and this young fellow was at one of my seminars, and he said, well, you have to give them this information or they won't turn on the power. And I said, yes, they'll turn that on without any of that information. What you do is you give them a deposit. You don't give them a credit application. You give them a deposit, $150, and they'll turn your power on. So we went down to the power company, and there was confrontation. The girl said, no, we won't do this. You have to fill this out. And so I handed her my business card, and I said, I'm a civil rights investigator, and it appears to us that you are violating this man's civil rights, and we want to sue you and the Fairbanks Light and Power Company. We want a test case here, kind of like Rosa Parks riding the front of the bus. We want to see if you can do this to people. We don't think that you can. And I said, no, we're not going to do that, but here's our deposit, and I'm a witness, and he's a witness. Now, what's your name and how do you spell it? She got a little nervous. She went back and got the manager. He came out. He went back and he called their legal department. They came back, and do you know what they said? They said, we can take your deposit and we don't need this application. And they turned his power on. Isn't that amazing? and they didn't have his social security number. Can you believe that? Can you believe that you can get electricity delivered to your home without your social security number? Did you know you can open a checking account without a social security number? There's just all kinds of things that you can do out there that they tell you, well, you can't do that, or we won't do this or that or something else. Yeah, they will. You know, after the confrontation is over, and after you explain to them that you're a civil rights investigator and you're here, or you cite the statute or the law. You know, oftentimes, if you'll just go look up the statute, rule, regulation, custom, usage, or practice in your state, and then you just reach in your purse and you pull that out and say, well, it says right here, under the Federal Communications Commission Directive 4214, which was enacted last June 9th by the Securities and Exchange Commission, that here's what the rule is. Now, are you going to follow this rule, or do we have to go get a judge to give you a court order? And then they'll call their legal department, and they'll come back, and they'll say, oh, yeah, we can make an exception in your case. Same thing with vaccinations. You know, they'll say, well, we're going to call social lady, and we're going to take your kid away from you, and we're going to do all these nasty, bad things to you if you don't fill this application out and don't get your kid vaccinated and blah, blah, blah. Then when you cite the law to them, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that's right, there is that exception, isn't there? And that's what privacy is all about. You know, privacy is where I don't want to tell you that. No, I don't want to give you that information. Now, you know that to steal your identification, I need your social security number, your name, your address, you know, maybe your phone number, your PIN number, and so on. And social security is one of those numbers that I really need. And that's called identity theft. Now, don't you want to protect yourself from identity theft? Have you ever thought about telling people, you know, I don't want to give you my social security number. Why don't you write in some new number over here? That's called identity theft, and I don't want you stealing my identity. And I don't want to have to come in here and argue with you to get my telephone turned on. Now, here's what this is what the FCC requires. Now, will you obey the law, or do I have to sue you? And then you'll be amazed at the results that you're going to get. Hey, we'll take this up again next time here on the Law Hour, an editorial review, talking about privacy. But we're out of time, so I got to remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio worldwide. For more information, why don't you call the law school and or go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We are open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archive. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.